And now, Frontline Leader, starring Adolphe Monjou as narrator. From Hollywood, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force present a documentary tribute to one of America's great military leaders, General George S. Patton, Jr. This transcribed feature, titled Frontline Leader, stars the eminent Hollywood personality, Adolphe Monjou, as guest narrator on The Voice of the Army.
That music you hear playing in the background is the song Gary Owen. And it's a must with any story about George Patton. It's a must with any story about a U.S. cavalryman. And believe me, General Patton was one of our most distinguished cavalrymen and soldiers. The song Gary Owen went into many a battle with many famous men. General George Custer, 7th U.S. Cavalry Regiment, heard it at Antietam and again at the Little Big Horn. Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders went into battle singing it at San Juan Hill. And George Patton heard and loved it all of his military life. The man who was to become the commanding general of the 3rd United States Army at Metz and Bastogne knew what he wanted. He knew it while he was a plebe at West Point.
Mr. Patton, how's the cow?
Sir, she walks, she talks, she's full of chalk. The lacteal fluid extracted from a female of the bovine species is highly prolific to the full degree. Glass, please.
Mr. Patton, what's the most important thing in the world to you?
The service, sir. Soldiering.
And what branch of the service will you choose, Mr. Patton?
The cavalry, sir. The cavalry.
The cavalry, sir. Yes, Cadet George Patton, 4th class USMA, knew what he wanted and was determined to get it. His devotion to the service began at the very beginning of his career, and his whole life became dedicated to the study and perfection of his profession, the defense of his country.
Gentlemen, we see here on the sand table the various position of the French and English armies at the Battle of Waterloo. You have seen that Napoleon had counted on the heavy support of troops on the right flank. Wellington attacked...
Sir, may I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Patton, what is it?
Well, sir, it seems to me that Napoleon could have easily defeated Wellington by deploying his cavalry into small attacking forces and hitting directly at the British line of communications.
Well, Mr. Patton, so you find a flaw in the Emperor's tactics. Well, suppose you come down to the sand table and show us how you would have done it.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, as I see it, the problem was one of overextended supply lines. Now, the greatest advantage over any enemy lies in speed, deception, and power, and I...
Speed, deception, and power. Yes, we were all to hear more of George Patton's speed, deception, and power. Well, that's the way it went. He became famous at the academy for his love of the army and for his military ability. When he graduated in 1910, he was commissioned as second lieutenant in the branch he'd had his heart set on, the cavalry. It was in 1917, 7 years after his graduation from West Point, that George Patton began his command career. But when the United States Army moved against Pancho Villa in the Mexican punitive expedition in 1917, they were led by General John J. Blackjack Pershing, who had specifically asked that one of his aides be Lieutenant George S. Patton, Jr. This was the opportunity for which George Patton had been preparing. He received an outstanding commendation from General Pershing for his work in this campaign. And in 1917, when the general sailed for France, George Patton, captain, sailed with him. Some people say that the U.S. Army was never more fortunate than the day in 1918 when Captain Patton was detailed as an observer with the British Army at the Battle of Cambrai.
As you see, gentlemen, the German front line is firmly entrenched on those two hills over there and in the valley between them.
And how do you propose to take them?
With our newest weapon. One that'll really surprise old Jerry.
New weapon, huh? I'd say you needed a troop of good U.S. cavalry to do the job.
Well, Captain, I grant you, old fellow, that we'd jolly well welcome the U.S. cavalry. But today I think we'll be able to chase Jerry home even without your cavalry.
Oh?
Voila. What is that? Aircraft?
No, my commander. Thanks.
Tanks.
Righto. Tanks. Watch.
Sacre bleu. cannot be armed.
Quite.
Tanks.
Quite. See, there go, Jerry. Now, gentlemen, watch.
Infantry in support of the tank. It's amazing.
Quite.
Oh, what Napoleon wouldn't have given for a few of these.
Eh?
They're nothing. Say, let's go. I want to see those tanks at first hand.
Battle of Cambrai was indeed an important historical event, for it marked the beginning of a new era in armies. The mechanized armor age had begun, and George Patton realized it. The cavalry that had long depended on hay and oats would now need gasoline and oil. Gary Owen was trading his bridle for an ignition key. Long before the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Army had begun to make plans for the extensive expansion of the U.S. Armored Force. And in these plans, George Patton was marked for command. Fort Knox, Kentucky became the armored center, and from the very first, he was there planning and teaching, watching our armored forces grow from one regiment of light tanks to divisions of M3s, M5s, half-tracks, recon cars, and jeeps. It was Colonel George Patton who took the armored force into its first real test at the Rugged Desert Training Center in California. And it was Brigadier General Patton who returned to Washington and reported that U.S. armor was ready for its baptism of fire for combat. And when our troops made their first attack in World War II, General Patton was there. In the North African campaign, he commanded the attack on French Morocco, the Western Task Force in Operation Torch.
November 2nd, 1942. In 40 hours, I shall be in battle with little information. On the spur of the moment, we'll have to make most momentous decisions. But I believe that one spirit enlarges with responsibility, and that with God's help, I shall make them and make them right. It seems that my whole life has been pointed to this moment.
Much depended on those decisions which George Patton knew he faced. An unsuccessful operation in Morocco would have endangered the entire North African campaign. But this was one of the moments for which General Eisenhower had been depending on George Patton. More than just this campaign depended on the outcome. These were green, untried troops that General Patton commanded. The world was waiting for the first American counterattack. It could not fail. On the evening before the attack, General Patton spoke to his men for the last time before they attacked. It was a speech they're still talking about.
Hands up. At ease, men. I don't have much to say to you. We've talked before. At Fort Knox, Fort Benning, and at California. We've all worked hard. Now we'll see if we're any good. Just remember this. We're using steamroller strategy. Make up your mind on your course and direction of action and stick to it. Attack weakness. And remember, hold them by the nose and kick them in the pants. That's all.
And that's what they did. Kicked him in the pants. In Morocco, in Algeria, and Tunisia. And in July 1943, they kicked him out of Sicily. General Patton's men did quite a lot of kicking. The grueling training days at Knox in the California desert had begun to pay off. In General Patton's book, War as I Saw It, he has entitled a chapter, Touring France with an Army. The Army was the famous 3rd U.S. Army, and its combat record under General Patton will live forever in military history. From the date the first units of the 3rd landed on Omaha Beach to the final victory push into Czechoslovakia, the amazing exploits of the 3rd Army kept the entire world on pins and needles. The tour began with a rather hurried sightseeing push across France.
July 31st, 1944. The order to move has been given. I don't propose to to stop until we hit the Moselle River. We'll wait for the others to catch up with us there.
We'll wait for the others to catch up with us there. Some said downright audacity. Others impossible. But the Third Army and George Patton didn't say much. They just went ahead and didn't stop till they hit the Moselle River on September the 24th, 1944. Why, even old Gary Owen had to move to keep up with these 20th century cavalrymen.
Hi, Lieutenant. Get your target today?
Target? That's American territory already. Patton passed through there last night.
And so it went. A mighty army under a mighty frontline leader. A military genius whose name will live forever in our history. General George S. Patton, Jr. In December 1945, the United States lost George Patton in an automobile accident in Germany. His career ended away from home. But the men of the Third Army and his fellow officers, who had known him for so long, felt that really he had been at home all through the war, for the Army was his home. And his pride in his men and their success was the most important thing in his life. He wrote to his troops at the close of the war,
"In closing, I can find no better expression for my feelings than to apply to you all the immortal words spoken by General Winfield Scott at Chapultepec when he said, 'Brave rifles, veterans, you've been baptized in fire and blood and have come out steel.'"
Among General Dwight D. Eisenhower's comments on General Patton in his book, A Crusade in Europe, were these remarks.
"He was a great leader for exploiting a mobile situation, and he could be depended upon in any situation to act promptly and effectively without waiting for detailed instructions from above. Because of his flair for the dramatic, many men who believed they knew him well never penetrated past the shell of his showmanship in which he carefully clothed himself. My old friend George Patton was essentially a shrewd battle leader in whose capacity I had implicit faith and confidence."
Today, the United States Army is carrying on the traditions and examples set by the combat troops and leaders of World War II. This story of General Patton vividly portrays the military opportunities that exist for every young American man who can make the grade. I know that if the general were standing here today, he would be the first to encourage you young men to enlist in the U.S. Army. For now, more than ever before, the Army's peacetime needs have created openings for men who want to learn to become leaders and experts. Today, a soldier in the combat arms, the infantry, the artillery, the cavalry, is a professional man. That's why General Patton's story has been so interesting. It may inspire you to join the greatest of all teams, the regular Army. Visit your local recruiting sergeant today. He will gladly advise you on how you can become a career soldier.
Thank you, Mr. Mongeau. Ladies and gentlemen, this program was presented by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force in cooperation with this radio station and starred Adolf Mongeau as narrator in a specially prepared transcribed documentary tribute to General George S. Patton, Jr., written by Charles Wilkes and directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. Also featured in the cast were Jeff Chandler, Bob Bruce, Byron Kane, and Roland Morris. This is Rye Bilsbury speaking for The Voice of the Army.